Good evening, everybody. It's Jim Hoffman here from EMS Office Hours, and I want to thank you, of course, for taking a quick 30 minutes or so to join me on this live podcast. I want to, of course, just give out a number. You can call in if you'd like and discuss the topic tonight. We're going to be talking about EMS career options and choices and changes and just kind of point out some different paths you can kind of take in EMS. The toll-free number is 877-217-3924, and the regular number is 646-915-9713, so you feel free to call in, and you can jump in even if we have somebody else on the line with us. You can also call in, and we can have a few callers at once, which is a great thing. Before we get started tonight, I'm not going to mention the boot camp project. I've been mentioning that pretty frequently, but I do want to kind of just give some condolences out. Friday we had a police officer who was shot in line of duty here in Poughkeepsie, New York. This officer, John Falcone, was actually an 18-year veteran of the Poughkeepsie Police Department, and he was actually shot when he was responding to a shooting incident near the train station in Poughkeepsie, and he was shot in the head during that altercation. Our condolences go out to his family and his friends, it's just a reminder that, when we respond to calls, anything could happen. It doesn't matter if you're a police officer or a paramedic, and we have to always, as I always say on every show and pretty much everything I ever do, is we have to always stay safe. So my condolences go out to him, the EMS Office Hours family, and my family as well. Go out to John Falcone's family and friends. If you're interested, over at EMTBravo.com, there is actually a condolence kind of signature letter that they're putting together there that's going to go to the family, down the road. So if you're interested in going over there and signing that condolence letter, that would be a great thing, I think, and really show support and solidarity into what we do here in the emergency services field. So with that said, I want to go ahead and just get into tonight's topic. I actually allocate a little bit more than 30 minutes tonight because deal that we might wind up getting into the topic, and I might go a little bit over 30 minutes. Basically, we're talking about, again, career options in EMS, what choices do we have in EMS, and what changes can you take? Where do you see yourself, maybe 5 or 10 years down the road in the EMS field? Do you even see yourself still in EMS? Do you still see yourself doing it in 5 years? Do you have a plan? People have that 5-year plan. Do you have that 5-year plan? And what about other options? Have you considered everything that can be open to you as an EMS provider inside EMS and even outside of EMS? So maybe you've kind of started looking for other things, maybe looking at nursing or physician assistant or maybe even MD. I know quite a few paramedics actually where I am right now that are looking to go to medical school within the year actually. So, where are your sights? Maybe it's on something like a small business like I run at the EMS, EMS office hours. So where do you stand? Where are you going? Where have you gone? Be sure to post it over in the chat room. Let us know what your goals are and where you're headed and what you've accomplished and where you see yourself going and what you see other options are in EMS. And feel free to call in, of course. Like I said, give us a call and we can discuss, career choices and options and where you see, the options are in EMS and where we can go. Actually, Josh will want to know again this week, which is great. Josh always brings some good stuff to the table. I think we'll bring him in here, and I'm sure he'll get the conversation going pretty decently. Josh, are you on there?
Hey, Jim. How are you doing this week?
How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. I was looking forward to this topic. It was a good one you picked.
Well, I actually talked a little bit about this topic maybe 7-8 months ago. Just talk a little bit about it because at the time there was a lot of stuff going on in the workplace, a lot of people getting fired and getting worried about getting laid off, and I was just kind of trying to talk and point out a little bit about different options that we have, in EMS. And a lot of people, they have that thing, Josh, where I can only be either get to be lieutenant or captain or whatever, wherever you work, moving up the ladder that way, or like the only other thing I can do is teach, And I think there's other options available and there's other paths that people can take. But my main thing is, when do you think is a good time for people to start, kind of looking at their options, when they first start out, or should they wait a few years? What's your opinion?
Jim, you and I have had a lot of discussions offline about this, and I'm a really big business and advancement person. I believe that it's the way to manage yourself and manage your career is always thinking of the next move. And some of the best business books I've read are, when do you think of your next job? Before you've taken the job you're going into. And it seems sort of counterintuitive because you're going into a job, you're supposed to be focused on it, and you're supposed to be, this is what I'm going to do right now, and then later on you'll focus on the next job. But the truth of the matter is it's just like chess. You got to think a couple of moves ahead. If you
Yeah.
don't, if you're not sure where you want to go, that's one thing. But if you definitely are looking to advance yourself, then you got to sort of play ahead and know certain things, like education will be a big part of a
Right.
big part of your move.
Well, I'll tell you, honestly, when I first started out in EMS, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I started working as an EMT. Actually, I was volunteering as an EMT at first in Brooklyn, and then I started working in 911. Had I known then, how long I was going to actually be in EMS and how long I, what was going to happen, I probably would have went to, at the time it was health and hospitals, but wound up in FDNY and probably been retiring right now. With a within that organization, but I wound
Jim,
up
is that
sticking with,
would have, should have, could have?
well, pretty much, but like you said too, it's when I realized at the point where the path wasn't gonna lead me down to a 20 and out or 25 and out type of retirement situation, which nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of EMS agencies out there who offer that, whether you're just a straight EMT or you climb the ladder and you're up into the lieutenants and captains and whatever. But it kind of led me to start looking at other things that I could do, and one of those, of course, is starting my online business and trying to help other EMS providers with study aids and field guides and stuff like that. But there's even more to it than that, I think. People, I know a bunch of people who are EMTs and medics that actually did the online nursing course, and
Yep, me
they
too.
did the whole thing online. Then they went and took the test, and I've got to say, more than on two hands, of people who went and became nurses, and are actually nurses right now doing nursing. They had they realized that EMS wasn't going to be a long-term thing for them. They weren't into a 20 and out type situation, and they started looking elsewhere earlier on to figure out where they were going to wind up ending up. And in their case, they wound up being in nursing. Some of them just had a drive to that. That was their initial goal, like you mentioned earlier, and that was their initial goal to begin with, was to just go ahead and be a nurse, and the EMT thing was a way to get experience and to hone patient care skills and stuff like that. So, some.
That sort of is a little bug in my bonnet, if I'm dating myself with that one. But nursing is a very good career. It's a very noble career, but it's not necessarily the next step to EMS. And one of the things that really bothers me is that a lot of times that's what it's looked at as. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you have too, been approached by family members or other people saying, hey, you got to be an ambulance driver all your life. I mean, why don't you try out nursing or a physician's assistant or something else that's a lower level in medicine? And then, and I don't mean that in a derogatory manner, but you know, we sort of look at the tier of medicine as a doctor is the end all be all, and that's being a physician is not out of reach. You and I both know a lot of doctors that started out as EMTs, went on to school while they were on the bus, and then, you know, went to medical school, and now they're practicing physicians.
Sure. My medical control doc right now actually was an EMT. I think he still is an EMT and a volunteer, and but he's you know, now he's a doc. But you know, that kind of leads me to you know, kind of to build on that a little bit too, that you do get a lot of people who treat EMS as a stepping stone, whether it's to nursing, whether it's to being the doc, maybe it's a stepping stone to the fireside. You do get people that use it in that manner, and that is part of, I think, the nature of EMS as a whole, and hopefully, you know, if in the future, career options will be a little bit bigger, and you won't have as many people treating it that way, you know. But people see it as a like you said, your family telling you know, when are you going to do this? When are you going to stop being an EMT, being an ambulance driver? Because you know, to a lot of people, it's kind of like a dead end type of a thing where you don't have a lot of career growth options. But that's really, I think, only if you stay at the provider level. If you don't try to go ahead and get more education, if you don't try to look for other ways to you know, use your skills and the knowledge that you're building being a provider, you
And
know.
I think that we're especially, I think that in EMS, there's to our credit, there's a special aspect that we are suited for in terms of thinking of that next step. Because if you think about it, when you're on the job, when do we start, you know, the classic textbook, when do you start thinking about the job? It's on the state test for crying out loud. It's when you know, when you say there's a job out there. You know, you may not know all the details, but you're starting to frame on whatever information you get. And as you get more information, you frame more. And as you get more, you know, you build on that. And if you look at your career as, you know, it's sort of funny that you started out and you said, you know, I hadn't a clue what I wanted to do, you know, before I got into EMS. I sort of got into it because it was something, and here I am years later. You know, I mean, did you have any jobs before EMS? I was really aching to ask you this question, Jim.
Oh yeah. I worked for a publishing company for years. I worked, you
Right.
know, I was a supervisor for a publishing company. I was making more money than I was in an EMT, but I mean, my desire to be an EMT goes back from when I was in the military and stuff that I saw there, where I kind of felt helpless and not being able to do anything, and I always wanted to go ahead and get that certification. And when I got it, I wanted to actually do it, and I wanted to actually ride in the ambulance, and it kind of steamrolled, you know. So that's my little, you know, end of it.
And this sort of and EMS, it definitely has that enticing sort of trap where you stay in it, you become a little bit of an adrenaline junkie, and you know, you like the thrills that you know come once in a while. I mean, it's sort of like anything you hear about any of the drug abuse. You know, you get a taste of it, and then you need more, and then you need more, and after a while, it's you know, it sort of dulls your senses until you need the really big thing.
Right.
And you know, EMS definitely has that attraction for a lot of people, but you know, unfortunately, in my eyes, I mean, now there are, I would say, exceptions to the rule. In the sense that there are guys that stay the whole time, make a career of it, support a family, and you know, raise kids and do all the things that you know we would like to be able to do. But I would think, and I sort of you know, and this is just off the side, I think that the vast majority of people who have played in EMS, and I'll say played in EMS, whether you were volunteer or paid. You know, and then found something else to do, did it because, you know, it got out of it because it wasn't putting bread on the table or wasn't paying the rent every week in a way that people wanted to. I mean, and again, you know, you can look and you say, how many people have you seen that have come and gone?
Yeah, I mean, the big turnover rate, you know, in EMS, I think, and a lot of it, I think, is due to necessity because, again, they don't see long-term growth. They don't see a salary that's growing, and they wind up, you know, leaving. You know, but you know, to me, I don't see that much wrong with it because, again, you know, people have to do what's right for them and what's right for their family. And
oh, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
You know, I actually worked years ago when I first became a medic, and I worked with this other medic one time, and he was a medic for, you know, forever. He was a medic when I was an EMT, and who knows how long before that he was a medic. And I kind of joked around with him, and I said, you know, so what's your 5-year plan? And he almost got kind of angry with me. He was like, you know, he goes, everyone always says that. Everyone has a 5-year plan in EMS. You know, they're either going to go to nursing, they're going to be a cop, they're going to be a fireman. He said, you know, EMS is a noble profession. He's like, why should it be looked down upon, looked at as a way to go to something else, or as a kind of a go-between job that gives you flexibility to get someplace else? So it's a noble.
And how many years ago was this?
It's got to be at least, I'm going to say, at least 10, 15 years ago.
And what do you think? And, you know, I mean, I think of some of the lieutenants that, you know, sort of sit around the front of the bus and shoot the breeze. And I remember one of the stunning things that I had learned, and I'm not sure if this has changed even to this day, but at the time, a fire lieutenant made 20% more than an EMS lieutenant. And that sort of inequality in pay is probably the reason why, yeah, it's a noble profession. And I'll tell you something, in my older years, it gets tough on you. You know, it wears your body down, but I want to do this as long as I can pick up a stretcher. Do it full time, do it for my main living, I don't know. But I can tell you that I definitely want to have my hands in some aspect of this going on for the future. I do love it.
Sure. And I want anyone listening in, of course, feel free to call in and chime in. The number is 877-217-3924. You can see it on your computer screen also. It's right there. You can give us a call. I'll be more than happy to hear what you have to say, what we're talking about. I mean, pretty much, you know, again, the basic career options that we have is, you know, you're on the truck, you're bettering yourself as far as, you know, patient care and maybe education-wise. You know, you have options, of course, to move up the ladder as far as rank goes. If the agency that you work in has that, a lot of agencies don't have that. Private agencies don't have lieutenants and captains and colonels and whatever else, you know, along the line. It's pretty much, you know, you get the line people and you've got, you know, a few supervisors. So there's not that many openings anyway to get up to that next rung in the ladder. For a lot of people, the next rung in the ladder is from EMT, then you become a paramedic, you know. You know, I think that there's going to be options that are going to be opening up to EMS in the future. I mean, I know there are places where paramedics do triage in the hospital. They work as, you know, in the triage function to allow nurses to actually be in the ER being nurses. And you got medics now that are doing that type of a function. You know, you've got some area that are doing that whole community paramedicine thing where they kind of do that kind of enhanced fly car type thing where they go to people's homes and they can evaluate and decide whether or not that person really needs an ambulance to go to the hospital or not, or if they can go to a clinic or whatever. You know,
but that's still in the medical profession.
It's still in the medical profession. I mean, you know, as far as options go within EMS, within the ambulance, I guess, zone. I mean, even education is also a way, also career options as well. You've got people who, you know, they became EMT, they became paramedics, even supervisors, even became managers, who go into the education end of it, either they're running a course, and they're running courses or whatever for EMTs and medics. Maybe they're teaching full time at conferences, and you know, or just teaching locally. So that's, and those are people that do it full time. I know quite a few people who have left the ambulance and do the teaching act, full time, because like you said, after a while, this job can wear on you. It can give you stress on your back. It can give you stress on your psyche, and it can wind up wearing upon you and winding up not letting you get where you want to be.
Absolutely,
So,
absolutely.
the
But then,
educational part is a big part of it, and that to me, I think, is one of the biggest things that I've seen a lot of EMS providers. They go from EMT and medic, and not necessarily go to the supervisory role. They go from that to being educators,
right.
because I think there's a bigger window of opportunity to be an educator, to be an instructor, or just an out and out outright teacher. So that's a big, I think, career option for people. But to get to that point, you have to have a certain amount of education yourself,
There you go.
a certain amount of experience, under your belt, so you can come at it, with new students and even experienced, providers, from an angle of knowledge, you know what I mean? So while that opportunity is there and that option is there, you have to actually be able to create that opportunity for yourself by getting that additional education and getting that experience and pretty much, paying your dues along the way.
Right. But I think you hit upon a key thing, and that sort of goes to the core of what, your discussion topic today is, what are the options when you're in EMS? And if you look at it and you say, take out EMS, and you say, what are your options? Boy, they really don't change from any other profession that has a lower threshold to entry. And
Right.
I don't say that in a derogatory manner, but all you need to do to get into EMS today is a high school education. Now, we can have a whole other conversation whether or not that's right, or if paramedics should have a college education or anything else along the line, or if that affects how much we're paid. But the facts are that that's the entry level. And when you're in a job that's an entry level where all you need is a high school education, I can speak, you need to start thinking about how to supplement your skill sets, and that usually means education, additional education.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you have to better yourself, and the people that wind up doing that are the ones that are dedicated, I think, to the industry as well. They're dedicated to getting that further in that education, creating that opportunity, for themselves, through getting that additional education. And maybe that education is just getting more experience. Maybe the education is street education that they're trying to get to, get to the next level where they want to be. It's hard to just say, okay, I'm gonna get my medic and then I'm gonna start teaching. But even those opportunities themselves, while they're a lot more than opportunities to be a boss, to be a supervisor or a manager, a lot of times you have to kind of know people to get your foot in the door with that type of stuff. And that goes, and that again is part of the experience, part of the way of kind of networking as you're out there in the field, and being the type of EMS professional that gets along with others and that can actually make an impression, so that down the line, when that opportunity does present itself, they'll remember you. They remember your name. They remember your desire to move ahead. Again, it might not necessarily be a career option, but I think it's definitely a choice that people can make. It's
Well,
definitely a choice that people can make.
I think it also looks good on a resume that, there's a certain persona that's associated with EMS of being able to handle yourself in emergencies, being able to think ahead, being able to stay calm when other people lose theirs. But, we're sort of talking, and we're sort of staying on that traditional stance of, okay, well, you're staying in EMS, you get an education, you become a nurse, you become a lawyer, you become something else that requires a higher level of education. But what if you want to be a non-traditionalist? And I think in some respects, Jim, you and I both share that entrepreneurial spirit that said, you know, I want to do something for myself. I don't necessarily want to work for somebody else. And so we ended up starting our own companies. And there is that avenue as well. You just have to be prepared. And this is one of those things that people may not know, is that you have to really steel yourself to not an easy time, and that your main source of income is, you know, you're sort of feeding another mouth when you're starting a new company.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I think I've told you this before too. You know, my whole end of it, you know, at the EMS Professional, which originally was called EMS Solutions, and you know, that kind of crept up on me. You know, I actually was doing sort of like a favor and creating field guides for people because nobody had field guides in the city that, you know, that could get their hands on. So I made, you know, a bunch of field guides up and, you know, started handing them out and giving them out and selling them and stuff like that. And then the demand grew. And then I started playing around with you know, creating sort of practice exams. And then that grew. You know, so the demand kept growing and people kept asking for different formats, different types, different topics. And it kind of got to the point where, you know, it became pretty much another full-time job for me. Like you said, it's like another mouth to feed that you have to, you know, steel yourself to and give it 100%. Because, you know, just like the patients you're treating, your fellow providers, at least for me, you know, the fellow EMS professionals out there that are counting on this stuff, you know, I can't do it, you know, half-assed. I can't do it that way. I wouldn't be able to function that way.
You know, I have something taped over my computer monitor, and for the younger folks out there, I probably don't remember a columnist named Ann Landers. You remember Ann Landers?
Yeah, vaguely.
Vaguely. I remember reading a long time ago, somebody said, you know, what is the key to success? And she said, it's one short sentence: find a need and fill it. And, you know, if you know of something that is not being addressed out there, whether it's a mechanical need in my world or an educational need in your world, you know, we were sort of filling a gap, or what we perceive to be a gap. And the only reason that we're still in business today is because other people see that as a gap as well and are
Sure, you
using
know,
the same mechanism.
and there's nothing wrong with people who are out there who have, you know, great ideas or have passions for things even outside of EMS that, you know, that they want to do, you know, to even using the people skills that you can develop in EMS and taking that someplace else.
Good
I
point.
mean, I know a lot of people in EMS who have either part-time done something else or a full-time. They've gone into sales. They've gone into research type stuff. They've gone into marketing type of an issue. I mean, you know, product creation. I mean, I met you through that. You know, creating a product. And other people that I've met who are also, you know, product creators as well. That I've met, you know, through actually my business end. But every one of them are actually EMS providers. And they're all still on the truck. They're all,
You know what?
for the most part, still on the truck, still taking care of patients.
But you sort of enter into an excellent point there, because we both know a lot of guys who their second job or their third job is another EMS provider. They work at this hospital, they may work in Sydney, they may work in the civil EMS, the public EMS that they have, and then work a private after that. And essentially what they're doing is just longer hours of the same job for slightly less pay, because they're not getting overtime or anything else, but they
Yeah.
get the added hours. And, you know, the one thing that I always tell other people, and again, you know, I'm the type of person that you got to keep your options open. You got to keep a couple of pokers in the fire. But if you're doing one thing and you continue to do that one thing, if you get injured, all three of your jobs are gone. And, you know, that's the real danger of our, you know, you just, I mean, obviously it is the most extreme case with, you know, where you mentioned in the beginning of the show, but, you know, line of duty death, does happen. It happens in EMS. But we're not talking about that. There are a lot of guys, and we both know a lot of people, and I'm sure people listening know people who have been injured and can't go back to this. And if they don't have another skill set, they've got to learn one to survive, or they're pretty much cooked.
Sure. You know, it's funny because a lot of some of the stuff that I do, like over on the blog and the EMS Office Hours, and even Greg Fries, that I know, we give a lot of basic tips to people. Safety tips, just basic type of day-to-day tips on EMS. I've gotten emailed, I've been made fun of. Oh, it's so basic. But I try to stress sometimes the basics. I mean, a lot of the advanced stuff that's out there, even on my sites or whatever, it's great stuff to know and build your knowledge base and all that. But if you can't stick with the basics, and when I say basics, I'm talking about things as far as, keeping yourself safe. Because if you are the person that's going to be doing this for the 20 and out type agency, or you're comfortable being a paramedic on the truck, or you're comfortable being an EMT in a truck, or even being a supervisor out in the field, you have to make sure that, you maintain your safety at all times so that you can keep doing it. Because, like you said, if you do get hurt, then any career options that you have or career choices are going to be cut short because now you can't do the basic thing that you're, doing all the time. So it's not that you should necessarily have a backup plan, I guess, but I think that it's important to keep your primary plan always at the forefront of your mind, and it kind of goes back to the beginning.
Keep your options open, and that's, don't just go and do. I mean, look, if you're sitting there and your career job is EMS and you're looking to buy a house or you have extra bills to pay, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working, another job. Almost everybody in EMS that I know works 2 to 3 jobs. I really can't think of anybody. I've had this discussion with you before, Jim. I can't think of anybody that works just one job, just comes in, works their EMS job, and goes home, unless they're a manager or a supervisor or something else. And even those guys, a lot of them have something else going on the side. But
Sure. If
you don't keep your options open, you're just cutting yourself short.
Sure. My thing is, I'm not trying to, and like you said too, not trying to put people down for just being a straight, ambulance provider, being on the truck, and that's what you want to do, that you love doing. I still love doing it. I enjoy doing it. But I looked down the road, and I'm hoping that, someday that all this internet stuff that I'm doing and online and offline stuff that I do will be able to become more of a full-time thing for me, and I'll be able to continue to pass on my experiences to the people that are, coming up, and then the newer people that are coming into EMS. But I think we do have to, as we mentioned in the very beginning of this podcast, is that when you come into it, it's important, I think, to start thinking about your next step and where you want to be. Not so much because you don't like it, or because you're, afraid you're going to get hurt, but just to start thinking about what your next step is going to be so that you have an option, that you have your choices, and that you're not forced into a choice or forced into anything.
And the important thing to keep in mind is there's nothing wrong with having options. There's nothing wrong with thinking about something else. It's not saying you're not a dedicated professional because you're thinking about another job or you're going to school for something else. Before I came into EMS, as you know, I was a consultant at some, very large companies, and we'd go out to different companies and help them fix whatever problems that they had going on or fill whatever need they had going on. But one of the things that we all did, and even though, our title was consultant, we were full-time employees and that was our home, but we always looked at what else was going on, what other skill sets were being utilized, what other career moves could we make. And like I said early on in this this conversation, one of the things you do is, when is a good time to be thinking about your next job? Before you even start the job you're in. Because, it's something that you should always have, and it's a chain of events that leads you to a goal. It's not just, you know, you just don't get onto the elevator and push the top floor and you're in the executive suite. You know,
right. And you know what, too, Josh, you never know what's going to wind up happening. You know what opportunities might have presented itself. You know, I was actually at a trade show with a friend of mine, and we were talking to one of the people, one of the booths that was selling a certain product. And they were looking for distributors and looking for people to, you know, get the product out there. And, you know, and just talk with my friend, they knew that he had connections, that he was, you know, well-spoken. And, you know, they thought offering him an opportunity to be, you know, a sole distributor for the tri-state area of this, you know, product, which is actually pretty popular right now. So, you know, an opportunity like, and he didn't take it because he had other things going on. But, again, that's the type of thing you never know when that opportunity is going to come out. And that's the type of opportunity that maybe he wouldn't have even been aware of or been approached with had he not been in EMS, had he not had that experience, had he not put himself out there and, you know, made himself, you know, open to those opportunities. So you never know what changes your career is going to take, what path it's going to take. You know, you have to be open to it. And, you know, again, you have to think about, you know, are you the person that is going to be content doing being on the ambulance, which is fine, or are you looking for something else? And if you're looking for something else from the get-go, like we mentioned, you know, the type of person who's thinking about their next move, you know, before it even gets there, then, you know, you need to be open to just about anything and be aware that, like you said, openings aren't just going to be in the medical field. It could be in other areas that are somewhat related, you know, because of your experience and your knowledge base, but not really directly involved as far as patient care and patient contact and all that stuff.
And being open to those opportunities doesn't mean you're not dedicated to what you're doing at the time. Doesn't mean, as an EMS professional, you're not dedicated. It just means that, you know, you're keeping broader horizons. And in every and I got to say this, in every other walk of life, in every other profession, in every other job, just about, that I can think of anyway, you know, that's the norm. People are always saying, well, you know what, keep my options open. There are things. I may be a career guy here, but, you know, we've all seen in this new age of business with downsizing and stuff, and, you know, this could, you know, this event of the market crash and the housing market led to a lot of businesses downsizing, but they downsized for financial reasons. I don't think if people remember much going back into the 90s and even back to the 80s and further back, every decade or so there seems to be a transition in business where there's a sort of a spike in unemployment, people get laid off, and people have to adjust and change careers. We've moved from a manufacturing society to a service society. If you're not moving, you know, it's like sharks in the water. If you're not moving, you're dead.
Right, right. Well, Josh, I don't want to go too much further on it. I got to wrap this up because we're running out of time. Just want to, of course, you know, if anyone has been listening the past few weeks, you know, Josh is the owner of WantNew.com, a very unique product and probably one of the most revolutionary products out there. And when I say revolutionary, it's not going to change your life, but you know what? It's the type of product I think that is as simple as it is something that is a product that people just are going to find themselves not being able to do without down the road. So, Josh, of course, I'll put a link below to your website.
They
Thank
can you.
Check out your wrenches there. And I know you're going to the EMS Today show as well next week, and you're going to be there. It's going to be there starting on Thursday.
It starts on Thursday. The show starts. Well, the conference. It's an educational conference. Don't let people forget that. So you can go there and get CMEs and learn about, you know, new trends in EMS. So it's really good that way. But the exhibit show starts Thursday at 5 o'clock. Runs through Saturday noon.
All right. Great. Great. Well, I'll put that stuff below as well in the show notes.
Cool.
They can check that out and, Of course, I would encourage people to go check out that site, and pick themselves up a wrench too while they're over there. Josh, again, thanks
Bye,
for
Tim.
joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Jim, it was a pleasure.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I know we went a little bit longer than the normal 30 minutes. These types of conversations, you can pretty much go on forever because you can really actually take any of these topics that we talked about, whether it's staying in EMS, whether it's going into the next level of healthcare or outside of healthcare or as far as sales or maybe your own business or your own entrepreneurship or doing something that's kind of related to EMS, but more along the lines of the knowledge base that you've built. So there's a lot of paths, a lot of options that are out there available to you. It's just a matter of getting yourself out there, getting the opportunities presented, the education that you need to have these opportunities presented as well in order to go ahead and make them a reality for yourself. So that's pretty much it again tonight. So I want to thank you once again for taking the time to join me here at EMS Office Hours. Again, as always, this show is dedicated to you, the EMS professional, and I want to talk about what you are thinking regarding the EMS industry. So please be sure to comment on the show on the blog at emsofficehours.com. Let me know your thoughts, your industry concerns, or even want to talk about a call you recently did. Love to get that on the show and make it as interactive as possible for the listeners and the people that come listen to the recordings of the show. So, as always, thanks for joining me. This is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.